Welcome to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from March 19, 1996.
From the high desert and the great American Southwest to the world. Actually, we've got our new international 800 line in this morning. Whether it works or not is a horse of a different question. A couple of my other lines are still under the weather as the phone company makes some swaps and changes and moves things around a little bit. So we'll see what happens. From Hawaii and the Tahitian Islands in the west, east of the Caribbean and the U.S. Virgin Islands, south into South America, north to Santa Country and the pole, this is Coast to Coast AM. Plus, or something. Good morning, everybody. I'm Art Bell. It's great to be here. And it looks like Bob Dole has done it. He's over 1,000 delegates now, some number above that which he needs. And he is the nominee. So, well, I guess you're not actually the nominee until you become the nominee in San Diego, but for all intents and purposes, it's a done deal. Pat Buchanan, kind of unsure what's going to happen with Pat. The only open question right now is who Dole will pick as a running mate. And I do not believe it's going to be Pat Buchanan. I know that's what a lot of his supporters would like, and I've thought it over. And if I was Bob Dole, it's a two-edged sword. On the one hand, Pat Buchanan would unify the Republican Party, would bring the Dole and maybe some of the Perot voters in. On the negative side, all the things done to Pat Buchanan, Bill Clinton and company would try and lay on Bob Dole through Pat Buchanan. And the first tenet of picking a running mate is do no harm with your choice. Do no harm. So it might be viewed that Pat Buchanan would do harm. On the other hand, vice presidents have always been lightning rods. And Pat Buchanan is a good lightning rod. The whole top of his head has been singed for years. So he might make a good vice president. Probably would make a good VP. And the problem, of course, is that, you know, Dole and Buchanan are at opposite poles of a number of questions. Economically, the life question, all the rest of it. And it's hard to see how they would go together. So, who knows? Politics will play itself out. Somebody will be picked. But I don't think it's going to be Buchanan. Well, it has happened again, ladies and gentlemen. I told you over the last couple days there was yet another cat under my house. As I mentioned last night, we laid out our Have a Heart trap. Thank you, the Los Angeles group that sent it to me, Humane Society. And it worked. Snap! At about 3 in the morning, I estimate. Because at 4 o'clock in the morning, I went out to my window, you know, and I shined my light out there. And there was a little orange fur ball in my trap. So, thankfully, things resolved themselves this time. And we did as we did before and carried the cat trap into our bathroom and put some stuff down, and it stayed there until 8 o'clock this morning, and we went to the veterinarian, and they gave our new cat, as yet unnamed, male by the way, or at least was, gave our cat a test for feline leukemia, number one. That came out negative, so then they proceeded to do the other things they did, and in the morning we get our new cat back, feral. To be sure, about a year old,
But feral, definitely a wild cat. So this is going to be interesting. I did not want three cats. Had this one, like my last one, had feline leukemia, and if I'd had to put it down, I would not have gone out and replaced it. But this is Cosmic Cat. Maybe that's what we ought to... We're trying to think of a name for our cat. Maybe you can help out. Cosmic in the sense that when they come to you, how this cat got in, I mean, I've got a big fence up now, you know, and how it even got here escapes me, or it's been there a long time. I don't know. At first, you know, we dangled some food in front of the trap, and he was smart enough to eat all that food. It was gone like a flash. Then back under the house. But he didn't go into the trap. Then about the middle of the night, he went into the trap and we got him. So anyway, we've got him and he's healthy, skinny as can be, because, you know, he hasn't been, heaven knows, I don't even want to know what he's been eating under there. But he's healthy, according to the vet, getting all his shots and all that kind of stuff. Claws are going. Maleness is going, and he will be an inside cat. What will be interesting is how he will interact with my other two cats, who kind of hate each other. He may be an interesting addition, so we're going to see. We're going to pick him up in the morning. In the morning, we have a new cat. You can think of it. He's gold, well, orange. And he has gold eyes. He's really going to be quite pretty when he finally begins to eat. So now I have three cats. I didn't want three cats. I don't want this to turn into a cat house. But we've got three cats, folks. Another new addition to the family. GM strike is spreading, now affecting 26 plants in 15 states, Mexico and Canada, beginning to hurt local economies now a bit. GM has laid off, get this, 150,000 people at 100 plants with a growing ripple effect. If it continues, it will begin to affect the national economy. GM accounts for, this is amazing, GM and its associated industries account for one in every $100 in America. That's amazing. Why are they on strike? Well, one word. It's called outsourcing. Parts coming from everywhere else, other factories. Cheaper. Ford, Chrysler, do a lot of it. So there is a lot of anxiety in America about jobs. And Mr. Buchanan, and to some degree even Bob Dole lately, have been bashing industry. You know, for the downsizing. Bob Dole kind of gave it lip service and said, well, I really didn't know this was going to become an issue in this campaign. And what he really meant by that is, normally Republicans wouldn't make it an issue, and they wouldn't. Pat Buchanan has. Robert Eaton, who is CEO of Chrysler Corporation, finally got sick of it yesterday and had quite a say. He is one of Detroit's top CEOs, and he's tired of all the criticism being lumped on large companies that downsize to make them leaner and meaner, more profitable and attractive on Wall Street. And he says it's become open season on CEOs, and, says he, it is wrong. Now, I want you to listen to what he says, and we'll have a discussion, I'm sure, about what he says. Quote, it's partly because it's an election year. and beating up on Wall Street and corporate America is a cheap way to get votes or to sell papers. This is old-fashioned, empty-headed tub-thumping popularism. We've always had a PR problem in America. We just haven't found a way to dress up certain economic realities so that we can take them out in public. Making money is still considered tacky in some circles. It's called greed. End quote. He went on to say that even his own mother, who has long been his number one fan, I mean, here he is, the CEO of Chrysler, is now beginning to wonder about him. And that's because of Pat Buchanan's railing against industry. Actually, very un-Republican-like. Buchanan the other day, in an effort to grab some of the Midwest delegates he did not get anyway, actually embraced the idea of supporting the Stryker replacement bill, which would say corporations can't replace strikers that go out on work by law. They go out on strike, the law says the company can't replace them. It's ridiculous. It's an abridgment of the freedom of corporations. And they have freedom too, you know, they're supposed to. So, you know, freedom is not a one-way street. Individuals are not the only ones with freedom. Anyway, corporations really are nothing but individuals. They're entities. But, you know, there are people behind these entities, and they've got a right to make a decision. So you might bear in mind the words from Mr. Eaton. I thought they would probably generate a discussion. I'm sure they will. Listen to what he said again. It's partly because it's an election year, and beating up on Wall Street and corporate America is a cheap way to get votes or to sell papers. This is old-fashioned, empty-headed, tub-thumping popularism. We've always had a PR problem. We've just not found a way to dress up certain economic realities so that we can take them out in public. Making money is still considered tacky in some circles. President's 97 budget, $1.6 trillion, is oot. The Republicans have declared it dead on arrival. Now, we've made some progress regarding Richard Hoagland's Thursday news conference. And I'll read you a fax I just got. Dear Art, I'm trying to do my part to bring Mr. Hoagland's theories to the knowledge of the general public. I therefore called the Washington, D.C. number that was given out on your show last night, which is the Viewer Services Department, and listened to a taped recording that said Richard Hoagland's press conference was tentative and that I should call back Wednesday, March 20th, to find out if they indeed are going to broadcast it. So, C-SPAN is obviously now beginning to waver and thinking about covering the press conference. Now, I've got a fax here about what Mr. Hoagland talked about, and I thought it'd be worth reading to you. What reason has mankind to feel threatened by knowledge of human beings having existed on Earth prior to our own known history? Were we terrorized by the documentary, The Mysterious Origins of Man, that offered proof of that fact? Does the hair on the nape of our necks rise when we marvel at the technical ability required to build the pyramids of Egypt or South America, which we have not yet figured out? Why should the sudden realization that our prehistorical ancestors had the technology to get to the moon, Mars, and elsewhere to build a glass dome station on the moon so shock us as to cause us to abandon our dream of space travel? Well, this is the question, and I think it's a very good one. I have come to the point where I'm beginning to believe there have been others before us. Does that shock you? And many of you I know who listen to this program are going to say, no, it does not. But I am of the view that it would utterly disrupt everything about our world that we know and cherish and believe and have faith in. If there have been other civilizations of man that have come and gone, then obviously what we read in the Bible is directly challenged, isn't it? It doesn't mean there's not a creator. But the story of creation, as we understand it, is challenged. No question about it. So I've done a lot of thinking about this. Scientific careers are going to be challenged. The evidence is going to be buried. Speaking of buried, a strong earthquake shook southern Mexico Tuesday, caused buildings to sway in Mexico City. No damage or injuries reported yet, but it was strong. Another, even stronger earthquake of 6.9 magnitude jolted a remote section of northwest China late Tuesday, and I'm getting information that 24 people are dead and that thousands and thousands of people, or tens of thousands, may be homeless. So that was a big earthquake warning. Maybe God shaking his hand at China. Because we did. The U.S. today gave yet another sharp warning to China against invading Taiwan. And the House approved a resolution stating that Washington should help defend Taiwan in the case of such an attack. This is really interesting. A senior U.S. official also said Taiwan had asked the U.S., in day-long talks in Washington, to provide diesel submarines to Taipei for naval defense. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. I'm concerned that we have a private assessment that the situation in China with respect to Taiwan is fluid. I'll use a simple word here. Or a more obscure word. What I'm really trying to say is, I believe we've got an assessment suggesting that China fully intends to go ahead and invade. That's what I believe. That's why I think the military hardware is there. That's why I think this continues to be a big deal, even now, even after China said, well, the U.S. has nothing to worry about, we're not going to invade. I think privately, we absolutely believe otherwise. Watch what we do, not what we say. I think we could come to a conflict with China. Well, guess what? In a moment, I'm going to try it. I'm going to give out my new international number, which probably is not working. And they are shifting at this very hour. They're shifting my numbers all around. I'll tell you more about it.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time. Listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from March 19, 1996.
Good to be here. I'm Art Bell. Already the suggestions coming in. This is a pretty good one. Hey, Art, how about for your cat, a new name for your cat, Purrump. P-U-R-R-U-M-P-H, Purrump. That's actually not bad. What other name for a cosmic cat besides Cosmo? And then finally, probably the most practical suggestion of all, Art, when I was about 10 years old, we had a female cat. The cat gave birth to 6 kittens. We didn't know what to do. Didn't know how to give the cats away. My dad came up with an idea. Halloween came. And when the little small trick-or-treaters came jogging by, the sacks were held open, and they were given a candy bar, and you guessed it, a small kitten. Halloween is only 7 months away. Love the show, Ron. Yeah, well, Purrump. you guys are all right. All right, the phone number situation here is going to be very weird this morning. And until you get used to it, it is going to be a little unsettling. And not quite what we have always called it. Now, the East of the Rockies line is still what it always was. 1-800-825-5033. But we've made a slight modification of where you would expect the Rockies to be. Okay? And we're now going to call west of the Rockies everything from Montana, Wyoming, and Colorado, New Mexico, west. So, in other words, Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, and New Mexico now need to call 1-800-618-8255. 1-800-618-8255. Everybody east of those areas calls 1-800-825-5033. And now, international callers, here's what you do. And we are now, as you know, carried on the Internet, real audio from WPSL in Port St. Lucie, and WOAI, the mighty one, on 1200 in San Antonio. They both feed the Internet. And you can receive real audio, feed, stream audio, by going to my webpage and jumping to either one of those sites. Which means that they can hear us all over the place. If you are somewhere outside the United States, Canada, or Mexico, here we're going to try this. I don't know that it's going to work. You dial the U.S. code, whatever the U.S. code is, and then you dial 1-800-893-0903. Let me give that number again. International callers only, please write it down. The number is 1-800-893-0903. But first, you must dial the U.S. international code, whatever that is, your USA access number, first. And I'm not sure what our country code is. I ought to know our country code, but I don't. And then you dial 1-800-893-0903 from anywhere in the world except Canada, the U.S., and Mexico. So, wherever you are internationally, give that a try, and we think we've got the line open, but we may not. We may not. So, we'll continue to kind of plug that through the evening and see if it ever rings. So, all of this is new. One of my wild card lines appears to be out of service, and they are working on that. Otherwise, we'll kind of cruise around and see what happens. Open line, unscreened, unpredictable, I might add, talk radio. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi.
Hello there.
I'm sorry, I was shocked to know I got in. This is Tamara in Wichita.
Wichita, yes, ma'am.
And first of all, I had two things to say. First of all, I had to say, God bless you and your wife for taking that poor cat in.
Well, you know, what else do you do?
What?
That's it. I mean, the cat shows up under your house.
Mm-hmm.
It's yours.
Yeah, I know. I had one show up in my apartment complex back in the summer of 89, and by September, she lived in my house.
Yeah. Well, now there's three. It's going to be three.
Unfortunately, they only let me have one here. That's all that's allowed.
I wouldn't necessarily want to have three. I thought two was fine.
Yeah. Well, you know what they say. I know three is supposed to be a crowd, but you never know. It can be really nice.
Well, there is with my cats, there is no such thing as a sexual crowd.
That's true.
So I don't know that it'll be a problem from that point of view.
That's true.
All right. Well, listen, thank you.
Thank you. And somebody took my name. I was going to tell you to call him Cosmo. I think that's perfect.
Cosmo. All right. Thank you. It's so 60-ish, though. But, yeah, it is certainly cosmic. Cosmic. Hey, Art, with tensions rising steadily every day with China, where is this country's civil defense? You know, the civil defense we used to have. It has been at least 10 years since I've been I've seen any sort of designated fallout shelter. It's true, huh? If the country at this time is that ill-equipped to deal with this kind of national emergency, even if the country doesn't take a direct nuclear strike, dozens of nuclear warheads detonated surely could spread radiation over the jet stream. You know, that's true. When was the last time anybody saw a designated shelter? Maybe they're just politically incorrect. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
How are you, sir?
Okay.
A wonderful show. I started listening to you the night you were talking about the well they exploded up in Oregon. And we laughed, and then when you compared it to the WKRP turkey thing, we were all hysterical, and I've been listening to you ever since.
Well, it's actually, I repeated that story last night.
That was funny.
And it was funny, and if you think that's funny, you ought to see the video.
You can get the video?
I've got it. I don't know if you can get it. I've got one.
There was about four of us listening to the radio. We were just looking at each other, and then when you compared it to the WOK with Les Nessman, we just lost it. We laughed hysterically. I just called. I don't know what's more frustrating, the political campaign or trying to get through to you on the phone. I was at the gym tonight working out, and they had C-SPAN 2 on, and they were doing the immigration law.
Yes.
And they were all up there. Up there showboating and, you know, giving their time and conceding their time and getting up and arguing. And we were all just looking at them. And one of the people in the gym said, whatever happened to the Committee on Un-American Activities? And Hafez had never, didn't know what he was talking about. And he said that when he was younger, during the Truman years, there was a Senator McCarran from the state of Nevada who had a lot to do with starting the Committee for Un-American Activities, and he said that they rooted up and got rid of a lot of people in politics who were actually harming this country. Do you know anything about that?
Well, it was kind of a communist-chasing kind of deal, you know?
Uh-huh.
And it just, as you said that, it brought to mind a question. If there was a committee on Un-American Activities today, who do you think they would be looking at? Well, I'll bet you Louis Farrakhan would have been doing a little testifying there, huh? Louis probably would have been up having to explain himself. Committee on Un-American Activities. You'd have to wonder in these modern days who would be called before it. Maybe not for the traditional communist-chasing reasons of the past. But surely a lot of people could conceivably be called to testify before such a committee. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning. Hello there. Oh, no, you're not. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning. Uh-oh. First-time caller line. Let's try that. You're on the air.
Art.
Yes.
Hi, I'm calling from Houston, Texas.
Yes, sir.
I heard you say about that the...
earthquake in Mexico City?
Yes.
And I was wondering if you knew what time that was, because my wife and I felt a small rumble about 10 o'clock tonight.
Where are you?
I'm in Houston. Yes.
That's possible. That's certainly possible. No, I don't have the, let me see if I've got it. 11:13 a.m.
Is that Mexico City time?
Or 12:13 p.m. Eastern time.
Eastern time, so that would be 11:13. I think we could feel that here in Houston.
Really?
I think so. I live on the third floor, and we felt a small rumble.
Well, that might have been it.
The hair on the back of my neck kind of stood up when I heard you say earthquake. Cause
yes.
I was thinking it was here in Texas, but...
And a big one in China.
I heard that one also, but I don't think I'd feel that one.
Mm-hmm. Think right. Mother Earth is shaking her finger at us here?
She sure is.
Yeah.
All right, thanks.
You're welcome, sir. Bye-bye. Yeah, she sure is right. Well, I need an international caller. Now... It is problematic whether it's working. So again, let me give out the number. You dial the USA country code first, and then our 800 number, 1-800-893-0903. And maybe Stan Deo down in Australia, who I know is listening, will do it. Somebody else will do it. Somebody will do it. Somebody will figure it out. I may not even, maybe you don't have to dial a one first. But you guys figure it out. Wherever you are in the world, dial the USA country code and then 1-800-893-0903. That's 1-800-893-0903. We'll see. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi. Hello? Nope, guess not. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Art, wow, twice in the last two or three minutes. That was your errant West of the Rockies call a few minutes ago. I can't believe it. Okay, quick question. Do you think the world will end with a bang or a whimper?
You mean you called a few minutes ago?
Yeah, and I right as I
you're,
hung
you're
up...
You're not allowed to call twice, sir.
No, I didn't get through.
Oh, I see.
But right as I hung up, I heard you actually picking me up, and then I heard you get dead air.
Oh, that's right.
On
yes.
West of the Rockies. Wow.
Yes.
Twice, and people complain about being able to get on your show. Twice in the last two or three minutes I got through. So, anyway, how will the world end, do you think, with a bang or a whimper? A bang or a whimper? It's a philosophical question, I know.
I'm not even sure it's going to end.
Well, it's just, okay, one quick thing on your cat. How about the name Moonshadow?
No, we've already got a shadow. So then it would become Moon.
That would repetitive. Okay.
Yeah.
Good night.
All right, good night. I don't know. It takes a little thought. Cats don't name easily. On the first-time caller line, you're on the air. Hello there.
Hello, Art Bell.
That's me.
Hey, this is Brian up here in Federal Way.
Yes, sir.
Let me turn down my radio here.
That's good.
Yeah, I'm calling about Richard Hoagland.
Yes.
And that whole situation going on there. And I think the world has a right to know about what's going on and about NASA and everything. And,
Well, I would say the world, you know, I don't know. Look, I don't know that Richard Hoagland is right. I don't know that there are structures on the moon. I know there's the face on Mars, structures, but I'm not sure all of this is right. I think the world should have a right to make up its own mind.
Well, you're right. But at the same time, I believe that there should be something in writing that allows the world to have the information at hand. Meaning, if I was to ask you, you were saying that the world might become unraveled with this kind of knowledge. I just think...
Oh, I do, yeah.
Like, if my parents were holding back information that I had, deadly cancer, and I didn't know, I'd be kind of upset. And I believe that the world that we live on is slowly moving to the stages where, that you know, it is cancerous. And if it means getting this knowledge out and letting us speed up our space technology letting us expand our, you know, our horizon throughout the,
well,
the galaxy.
Well, let's examine a little bit what it really would mean, sir. If there had been people here many times before, if they had achieved a high technological state and then been wiped out, what would that mean for us?
Well, it would mean we probably need to find another place to live.
It might mean that any technological civilization has a certain shelf life. Think about that. That things do not simply go on forever. That as a natural progression of technology continues, at some point, whether it's in genetics or with computers or with the environment or whatever it is that a technological society begins doing that it ought not be doing, it ends up getting wiped out almost automatically. That would not be good news for mankind, would it? Or you might conclude that it would give us an opportunity to do some research, find out what wiped the last ones out, and try and avoid the same pitfall. I don't know. It would challenge every paradigm and tenet that we now believe in. Archaeology, our own origins, our religions. It would be pretty heady stuff. All right, once again, we have got our international line open. Maybe. We just put it in. So if you are outside of the U.S., Canada, or Mexico, call the USA country code and then call 1-800-893-0903. Let me give that number one more time. International calls, dial the USA country code, then 1-800-893-0903. And we'll see. Maybe we'll get... And then my wild card lines seem to be down. So they're doing some work on those and doing some other work on the 800 lines. It could turn out to be a very interesting morning, to say the least. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. This is Jamie in South Dakota.
Hi, Jamie.
Hi. Say, I was just thinking, I've got this overwhelming feeling that maybe the lease is up on the Earth. And I'm wondering what we need to do to get our deposit back.
You mean before we get the eviction notice? Or,
yeah, exactly. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Our cleaning deposit, I don't think we're going to get that back. If you were God, would you give the people of Earth their cleaning deposit back?
Definitely not.
No.
I think I would probably charge extra. Have a good night.
All right, thank you very much. How many of the rest of you think that Earth should get its cleaning deposit back? First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, this is Linda in San Carlos.
Linda. Hi, Linda.
Hi, is this Art?
Yes.
Oh, you sound different on the phone than you do on the radio.
No.
Yes. This is the first time I've ever called anywhere like this, but...
Really?
Yeah, I just called tonight to say something interesting to you, what I thought was interesting anyway.
Sure.
I really am hungry for news, and I've been someone who's always watched all the news and CNN and all, you know, anything I can watch. But the regular news, like on the broadcast stations on TV, is so bad now, and I can tune you in and find out things that they don't even say. So I have this theory everyone, one of the reasons people listen so much and you hear them, you know, on your show so much is that everyone's really hungry for news.
Yes.
And it's so interesting also to hear what people all over the United States are thinking instead of just like one little area that's, you know, what you get in San Francisco or, you know, in where I live, you know.
Sure.
So I just called to say that's really neat and I appreciate it. And
well,
I had no idea there was an earthquake in Mexico City.
There was. Actually, not. It was felt there. It swayed buildings in Mexico City. So that's one. And the other one is in China, and that one killed a whole bunch of people and made thousands homeless. So
yeah, all they said was on the news tonight was it killed 24, which, of course, is still a lot. But they didn't say anything about homeless. Or
a lot of homeless. Listen, do you think the people of Earth should get their cleaning deposit back for Earth?
Well, I don't think it's going to happen.
All right. Thank you very much. We've got to run. We'll be right back.
The trip back in time continues with Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. More Somewhere in Time coming up. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from the 19th of March, 1996.
Hi, everybody. Well, this is going to be a strange telephone night, I can tell you right now. Let me tell you what's going on. It's going to eventually be very neat. We have a new international 800 line, and here's the way it works. Whatever country in the world you're in, you dial the USA direct number. For example, in Japan, you would dial 0039-111. From the United Kingdom, you would dial 0500-890011. Oh, my God, all these numbers. If you're in Sweden, you would dial 020-795-611. Then our number. Now, normally 800 lines are not accessible from outside the U.S. The phone company has done this specially for us. Whether it actually has been done or not is a horse of a different question. The international number, and we're dying to have somebody try this, or maybe you are and it's not working, it's hard to know, is 1-800-893-0903. Now, the USA, Canada, and Mexico, ostensibly, supposedly, are blocked. But if you're listening out there on the Internet, worldwide, the number is 1-800-893-0903. And let me say one more time, what you do first is dial the USA direct number. The USA direct number for your country. Then you call 1-800-893-0903. And if somebody would try that so we know it is working, that'd be cool. Also, we have carved up the east and the west of the Rockies line a little bit so that people west cannot call the east line, people east cannot call the west line, and so forth. In the process, they seem to have killed my wild card lines, so we'll just have to see how this evening goes. It is the moment of change. At midnight, they actually, I believe, make the change, or made the change, or maybe before. I'm not sure. So we'll just kind of ride it out. Otherwise, we're talking about anything you would like. I just got a fax. I would like to confirm this from Peggy in Van Nuys, California. Art just had an earthquake in the valley. And that's all it says. So, I don't know. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning.
Tim in Denver. I finally made it back.
You made it in. Yes, sir.
Okay. Just a couple comments on your book signing and a couple questions.
Okay.
First of all, I hope Mike Seattle's listening. He took plenty of pictures that, and I took quite a few. I hope we get to swap them. And
well, I hope you guys
to you.
Yeah, I hope you guys will send me some.
Oh, of course, of course. And I hope you enjoyed your Barbra Streisand picture I brought you.
Oh, hey, it's sitting right here. That, hey, listen, that's one of the best photos of Streisand I've ever seen.
I've got 40, 45, something like that I've collected over the years, and that's my favorite.
Oh, well, it's now my favorite.
I bought it back in 72 in North Hollywood on vacation when I was out there.
Well, I really want to thank you for it. It is beautiful. No kidding.
Great. Appreciate that.
How old was she in that, do you know?
Oh, I purchased the picture in, 72 or 73. So she had to have been in her mid to late 20s at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Looks good, though, huh?
Oh, right up there with Shannon.
Great. Anyway, I wanted to also comment on the Richard Hoagland deal.
Yes.
And the fact that...
Well, apparently it is now tentatively possible on C-SPAN.
Great. I hope. I really hope they carry it. I plan on calling tomorrow and putting my 2 cents in.
Thank you.
I think that, if you look at the registered voters, for example, in this country, how many people actually turn out and vote on the major elections, and the concern that the other percentage of the people have, how is this, this statement or the press conference Thursday is going to affect, again, a certain percentage of the people, and the rest of them are just going to blow it off. People today, unless it involves them in their everyday life, unless it concerns them personally, they really don't care if there's new buildings on the moon. I just really don't think they care.
I find that hard to believe.
I think that's true. I think there's a small percentage, like I said, look at the small percentage that votes in our country. Everybody else, puts it off on that other percentage. If there's buildings on the moon, let other people worry about it. It doesn't concern me. And that's really sad. It really is. The discussion group that we had in line while we were waiting to see you, the neat thing about the 6 or 7 people that I gathered with, and I think that's the way it kind of went all the way down through the line,
yeah, oh, sure.
Was that none of us really all agreed with you on everything, which was kind of nice. We all agreed that you had a certain integrity. That's why we listen, a concern for people and a real insight into what's going on. But we didn't necessarily agree with you, and I thought, on every single point that you make.
Well, if you did, it would be pretty boring.
It really would. And it shows, I think, the overall audience type of feelings they have towards the show, that they listen to you not because of your opinion or how that matters to them. They listen to you because of the way you present everything. And the regular guy type of attitude with extraordinary talents and an extraordinary condition, which I think you are, being able to speak to so many people in a vast audience night after night, it means a lot. And
well, thank you. And again, for the Streisand beautiful picture, I really thank you.
Well, thanks for having it in Portland. It made my vacation. It was a great week.
Take care, my friend.
Yeah, thanks, Art.
Right. The Portland thing was unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. It's still settling in on me, and I was awed by it. And I thank you all. It was amazing. I mean, it was just amazing. Thousands of people. Thousands of people. I'll tell you a cute story. My wife was blown away by it, too. She came up there. She was a real trooper. I had her, on the air yesterday, you recall. And she was talking to Alan, who is the president of our network. She came home and she said, she was on the phone with Alan. She said, "Does this mean he's a star?" I'm not a star. But, you certainly could get that feeling. And I'm sure that does too much to people's heads to have that kind of turnout. I'm not just awed by it. I'm kind of freaked out by it, to be honest with you. I was freaked out. And so... that was my one big book signing. I'm really kind of I'm not a hermit exactly. That's what my local Chamber of Commerce thinks. But, I don't get out a lot. I try not to get out a lot on purpose. I've got the world here, as much of the world as I wish. Okay, Art. The cat's out of the bag now. Oh, yeah, I've got a new cat. You might as well go ahead and introduce us to your newest sponsor, Absolutely Fresh Cats. It's obvious you've been testing their delivery and customer service. Yes, well, there's nothing you can do. A cat shows up under your house. You can't let the little son of a gun live under there. It's too horrible. It gets very hot here in the summer, and I just wouldn't do it. So now I've got another cat. As of tomorrow morning, when I go collect my little modified cat, I've got the third cat. And I don't know what happens when you get three cats together. The dynamics change, I'm sure. And it'll be fun to watch. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Call us toll free at 1-800-618-8255. Okay, Tim, we're not allowed to put your last name on the air.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right. So it is Tim, and Tim, where are you calling from?
Ligonier, Indiana.
All right.
I called about a week ago, and you said, where is that at? And I told you that I'd never heard of it before until I moved here, too.
Right.
Yeah, well, it's up by Fort Wayne.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's like Pahrump. Who knows where that is?
I got an idea for a name for your cat.
Mm-hmm.
Cusco.
Ooh.
Or is that too...
No, that's not bad. That's not bad. That goes on the immediate high list.
Well, I figured, you know, male cat.
Oh, no, no, that's really good.
Yeah, he's probably been listening to your program, and he probably wanted to come to your house. Kind
all
of
right.
The way Cusco did.
I'll tell you what, that goes to the top of the list.
I want to ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
About 2 years ago, I first heard your program, I believe, when I was on a road trip.
Mm-hmm.
Driving to Iowa.
Oh, yes.
And you had a program on in regards to you were interviewing some guy, and you were talking about the government's involvement with extraterrestrials and technology discovered when basically with the government's involvement within investigating extraterrestrials and secret project underground. Does that ring a bell?
Well, in a general sense.
I only caught bits and pieces of the program, and I was trying to get through to you to ask you if you recall it and what it was about.
No, I'm sorry. I've done so many programs of that genre that it rings a bell, certainly in a general sense.
Mm-hmm. It had something to do with aging, technology the government was withholding about aging and space and time travel.
All right, thank you. Yeah, we've talked about that kind of thing many times, those kinds of topics. So to pin that down to a show a year or two ago, I certainly cannot do. But we deal with those kinds of topics here and on other shows. Aging. I get calls and faxes from people who claim to be immortal. I think I'm the only talk show who gets that. I get a lot of it. Government having alien technology, a lot of people think that. You know what I've always wondered, though? If you're an alien, why make contact with the government? Hmm? Why not make contact with, I don't know, news people? If you want to get the word out. Or some private, large industrial concern that you might mix it up with, providing something for them. Or, in other words, why the government? Wouldn't necessarily be the government. Now, of course, the government would have great interest in keeping something like that to itself. So it certainly is possible. Time travel? We've talked of that many, many, many times. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art. This is Sean from Sandusky, Ohio.
Hi, Sean.
How you doing?
Fine.
First of all, I wanted to tell you, I tuned over to 760 tonight to listen to your program, and they put Dr. Laura on.
What is 750?
760, WJR.
Detroit? Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I don't understand why the change.
Well, there's always changes going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that it represents a change. Usually we find out that a wrong tape got played or a satellite feed is down or something like that.
Well, anyway, I got you on 1180, so I think that's out of New York.
That's true.
And I was wanting to tell you about the weird weather we've been having here today.
Yes?
It's like right now it's 34 degrees and it's pouring down snow. And it's been thundering and lightning, too, all day long.
Rain, I think, pours. Snow falls.
Yeah. this is so weird, Art. It's been thundering, lightning, heavy snow, and the power's already went out several times tonight. I've heard fire trucks go up and down the road. And from what I understand, Detroit's getting pounded by somewhat of a blizzard right now.
Really?
Road conditions are terrible.
Hmm. Well,
anyway, I just thought I'd call and share that little bit of information with you.
All right, appreciate it.
Part of the quickening.
All right, thank you.
All right, thanks.
Take care.
It.
Well, it's just a late spring storm. I'm not sure it represents the quickening. It's a late spring storm. But when you look at the weather patterns as a whole and what's been going on, there are reasons to be concerned. Somebody asked before the top of the hour, and I thought it was a real good question. If mankind's rain on Earth is ending, if it is ending, do you think mankind deserves to get its cleaning deposit back? West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, Art, this is Rich. Rich.
Yes, Rich.
From Alamosa, Colorado.
Yes, sir.
You know, I started listening to your show around January, and when KFSO and 560 in San Francisco had you first on.
Oh, yes.
And I started recording the interviews you had with Gordon Michael Scallion, and then in May, I made up my mind that I was going to retire from the federal government and get the hell out of Dodge.
Really?
So it took me 6 months to get out of California, and I finally got down to Alamosa, where we're going to build a house. But I just want to thank you for having a program that's going to be so informative for the public.
Well, I appreciate that. Those are good words, and we just try to have an open program, and whatever occurs here occurs. It is that simple.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and the weirdest thing was that I was doing two houses to get out of California, and I was restoring old 40 Woody in the garage, and every day I kept you on the radio, and in May they had an early out on the 25th. I applied on the first, they accepted on June 1st or June, the last month, the last day of June. I got out and I'm here now. So I just want to thank you for having a great program.
Well, I'm glad you could take us with you.
Well, I'm listening to you on my ATS 818CS, and I'm talking with a 900 cycle from Bob Crane's place. So.
Very good. All right, my friend, thank you.
Have a good one.
Take care, and we'll be right back. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Yes, Art Bell?
Yes.
I'm surprised I got through. Your phone lines are really screwed up tonight.
Oh, they're really screwed up. I know. Where are you?
Omaha.
Omaha. All right.
Yes. I was wondering, by the way, I think you've got the best talk show around.
Well, thank you.
It's really interesting.
It's really different. Anyway.
Yes, very different. And I was wondering, have you been able to talk to Richard Hoagland privately about this conference he's going to have?
Yesterday, yes.
I was wondering, did you perhaps ask him if, besides the structures on the moon, are there any noticeable footprints or wheel prints or equipment left behind or anything like that?
I've heard separate stories about equipment supposedly left behind, and I don't know a word about, he hasn't said a word. Look, what he said to me privately is no different than what he said publicly.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was just wondering, because since they can't just spring out of the ground, somebody had to put them there, and there should be some evidence of somebody having been there other than just the structures.
Well, I guess he might not have mentioned the McDonald's. and the real mystery about it is, you know, on top, It says over 3 trillion served.
Also, I had another question.
Yeah, sure.
I called probably 3 months ago or so when the Cusco line wasn't working.
Yes.
And I asked you then about if you had asked Bob Shell if he had talked to the alien autopsy photographer.
Yes.
Did you ever talk to him and find out whether he had?
No, we're going to have Bob Shell back on, and I believe the answer is he may have.
Oh.
So there's a reason to have him back on.
Is he going to be on soon? Or?
Soon.
Like within a week? Month?
Now you're pushing me. I don't know. Soon. That's
okay.
Soon.
Okay.
Okay. You'll have to settle for soon. Until I get a date, I can only say soon.
Uh-huh.
All right?
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. And take care. 3 trillion serves. See, there you go. You want evidence of a prior civilization? How about that? An old McDonald's on the moon, absolutely riddled with craters and impacts, but still enough of the sign left sort of swinging for no discernible reason without much gravity, like in the old Western days, you know, the broken down old place, where the sign says over 3 trillion served. Now, that would give mankind a big reason to worry, wouldn't it? East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi. Hello there? Well, that's all right. We're going to break it off at that point because we've got a break for the bottom of the hour anyway, and I thought we'd go rocking out. Don't forget, we've got our new international line up and maybe operating. We will see as the morning goes on. Stay right where you are.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time.
During the sweet hour, slim and weak, you got the teeth of the hide upon you. You're dirty, sweet, and you're my girl.
Now, we take you back to the past. Art Bell, Somewhere in Time.
And it's going to be kind of a strange morning because my phone lines are in strange condition. All I can tell you is we hope we have a new international line, but it might not be functional yet. The way it works is, and it was done specially for us by the phone company. The phone company is that if you're out there internationally somewhere, other than Canada, America and Mexico, you're supposed to be able to call your AT&T country code for the U.S. and then dial 1-800-893-0903. Let me give that again. You dial the AT&T country code for the U.S., wherever you are, then you dial 1-800-893-0903. And it has not yet rung. So it may be that it is not yet working. Otherwise, the wildcard line is down this morning, and the other numbers are, we believe, functional, though modified a little bit. How's that for a lot of changes in one night, huh? West of the Rockies, 1-800-618-8255. East is 1-800-825-5033. And if you find that the line that you've dialed does not work, then dial the other one. Now, the first time caller line is functional at area code 702-727-1222. Here's one of the better suggestions yet for my cat's, I've got a new cat, for its name. How about Comet? Now that's a pretty good one. There's definitely a comet in the sky, and it's going to be growing brighter and brighter all week long. Until finally, toward the end of the week, it's going to be visible to the naked eye, and they say this could be quite a spectacle. We'll see. And then this. Yes, Art, there was a quake somewhere between 3 and 4, reported by KNX Radio, felt here in Thousand Oaks. Wasn't big. But after the big one 2 years ago, they all unnerve me. Well, there you are. I've also got the results, and Pat Buchanan did not win in Michigan. I don't know who sent that. With 100% of the precincts reporting in Michigan, Buchanan got 34% to Dole's 51%, everybody else single digits. So Pat did a good 34% there. In Illinois, he did 23% to Bob Dole's 64%. In Ohio, I can't read the percentage for Buchanan, but Dole did 66%. In Wisconsin, Dole 53%, Buchanan 34%. So Buchanan's base appears to be holding, which is very interesting. And is going to be a factor. Now, what do you think Bob Dole does about this? Does he allow a fight to go on in San Diego, through California, into San Diego? Does he, and I understand the Buchanan camp has the hand out, saying that he'd make a good vice president for Bob Dole. Maybe he would. Maybe he would. It would unify the party. For sure. But the people in the Dole camp might consider him a liability, and the first tenet of ever picking any VP is that he do no harm. So I don't know. What do you think? West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello. No, you're not. Well, we're going to have phone troubles all morning, I think. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. How's it going?
Okay. Turn your radio off, sir.
Okay. It is off.
All right. Yes.
How's it going today, Art?
I just said fine.
Oh, okay. Did you happen to catch Dana Carvey on Larry King Live the other night?
No.
He was doing some a pretty good of his normal shtick, and I wondered what you thought of his impressions.
I don't watch them, so I don't know.
You don't know?
No.
Mm. What do you watch?
News, mostly.
News, mostly.
Yeah.
Are you a CNN junkie?
I am, yes. It's on almost all the time, actually.
What would be your favorite CNN show?
I don't know. I watch, frankly, almost all of them. Favorite? You know, I like the new news team in the morning. The young Oriental gal and the blonde gal do a great job. In fact, CNN's anchors, I think, have matured tremendously. I appreciate your call, sir. Thank you. That's an interesting question. I thought the blonde, icy one and the young Oriental cute one were a good mix. Then I like Bobby Batista, and I really like her style. With the anchor that she works with, and I can't think of his name either. But I think they're very good together, and they have really matured well. CNN Presents on Sunday is consistently a good on-the-edge program. The political commentary they have is good. I'm a CNN junkie, and when I can stand it, C-SPAN, but I get angry watching C-SPAN. When I watch our political process in action, I get angry. I don't know about you, but it raises the hackles on my back to watch, and I actually end up getting angry. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi there.
Hello.
I'm from Nebraska.
Yes, sir.
Yes, have you got a good name for your cat yet?
Well, the two I like best so far, I think, are Cusco and Comet.
Are you a fan of Deep Space Nine?
To some degree. Not as much as I was Star Trek.
Not as much as Star Trek.
Right.
I was thinking of the one who is neither he nor she, is Dax.
Fitting, I suppose.
Yes. Well, I won't keep you.
All right, friend.
Hang in there.
Thank you, in Nebraska. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Is this Art Bell?
Yes.
Oh. This is Joe. I'm from Oregon.
Hi, Joe.
I have two questions I want to ask you real quick.
All right.
Okay.
Sure.
My first question was about Pat Buchanan. I've kind of been in his camp the whole time.
Right.
I've kind of thought, what do you, don't you think he would be a better negotiator or, what do you call it, debater with, you know, as far as going against Clinton and stuff?
Hell yes.
So why don't they make him the vice president? I think that would be a great idea.
Well, that is being considered. The Buchanan camp has the handout now saying he'd be a valuable part of the Dole administration. The decision is going to be Bob Dole's, and it is not an easy one to make.
I hope they make that one. That'd be a good one. Okay, I have a kind of a funny question for you.
Sure.
I went to a meeting tonight. Have you ever? I went and saw an Amway plan tonight. Have you ever seen an Amway plan before?
I know about Amway. I've never sold it, and I've never been to a meeting.
Oh, I was just kind of curious what you thought about it.
Well, I guess a lot of people get to make a lot of money.
Well, I just saw it tonight. It looked kind of interesting. I just kind of curious what you thought. Well,
I've never sold it, so I can't tell you, and I can wish you luck. I guess it has worked for a lot of people. That's one thing I've never done. About the only thing I can think of I've never done is direct sales. You know, actually going up and knocking on doors, that kind of thing. But just about everything else. So that's one thing I've never done. I don't know. What do you think? Cusco or Comet? Anyway, lots to talk about. And if you were Bob Dole, what would you do at this point? Would you choose Buchanan, thinking a vice president is a good attractor for lightning? Would you choose him because you would bring back this 25 or, in fact, there's a good question. If Buchanan was the vice presidential running mate of Bob Dole, would that bring you into the Dole camp? Because I've had people call in this program saying, I don't care what happens. I'd no more vote for Bob Dole than the man in the moon. Well, what if the man in the moon's running mate was Buchanan? Then what? Anybody want to answer that one? First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello, Art. How you doing? This is Rich from Spokane.
Yes, sir.
Oh, I was thinking a name for your cat would be like Krypton.
Krypton?
Yeah.
The thing that crippled Superman?
Sure. I was going to ask you another, I would say, off-radical thing, you know, like about the Heart Project.
Sure.
I was wondering what would happen if those guys over in Montana, those militia people,
yes,
if they was to make a plan and just go up there and blow it up, what would that happen to all the people that write about it?
Well, I just don't think it would be a good idea for them to blow up anything.
I don't think it would either, but I was just wondering what would happen if anybody would blow it up since the way people talk about it. They don't like it.
Well, I think they'd go to jail.
Yeah, they probably, if they got caught. But
well,
what about the things that the HAARP people are going to do? I mean, if they're going to cause damage to the society.
For one thing, blowing up HAARP would not be easy. It is an antenna array that is gigantic, covering great amounts of geography. So
right.
I'm not sure how you do that.
Well, I wouldn't know how you do it either. This thought just crossed my mind because I think, well, the book talks about, you know, I would say it would be just about criminal what they're going to do to the society.
Every time I start talking about HAARP now, I get this, my head.
Yeah.
You know, beginning to wonder what it is.
Yeah, I do too.
All I do is I say the name HAARP.
Well, I know about I went to electronic school, and I know about when they talked about the 30 cycle per second frequency.
These are things that are horrendously irritating to human beings. Thank you very much for the call. They produce an irritation. These low frequencies produce a great irritation in all humans. Perhaps a less civilized state. That much is pretty well documented scientifically, as a matter of fact. All right, we'll be back in a flash. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Ah, good morning, Art. Tom here in South Bend, Indiana.
Hi, Tom.
Do you have your phone number for your newsletter handy?
Sure, sure.
I'd sure like to get it.
All right. Well, it's got a big issue coming up on HARP.
Okay. Well, all right. Thank you very much.
All right. Take care and enjoy it. The newsletter is getting better and better. We will, in the next newsletter, assuming I can get the photographs back quickly enough, get you some photographs of what occurred up in Portland and get those into the newsletter. But coming up in this edition of the newsletter, we're going to have pictures of HARP, pictures of the Aurora, a story by Dr. Begich about HARP, and a interview with the program manager for HARP, Mr. Heckscherer. And so it is a very HARP-loaded issue. Oh! There we go again. Boy, they must really have a narrow beam width going there. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. Great show.
Thank you. Welcome.
This is Dale from Michigan.
Yes, sir.
I couldn't get through with your East of the Rockies 800 or the other one.
You couldn't?
Could not.
What did they tell? What, when you dialed it from Michigan, what did it say?
It said, caller, you're unable to go through this line by calling this number.
Okay, no. You got that when you called 1-800-825-5033?
Correct.
Oh, boy.
However, I am a first-time caller, so this is the proper line for me.
It is, but it tells me that things are not working out quite the way we thought they would.
I was surfing the web today and came upon your page. What a wonderful page it is.
Oh, it is nice, isn't it?
And I did get a chance to download the Hoagland gifts.
Yes.
And I took a look at them, and boy, I tell you, it's hard to decipher what's on them.
Well, it is. And what you've got to do is you've got to have somebody explaining what you're seeing to you.
Okay, and that supposedly is going to happen in the press conference.
If it occurs, well, I mean the press conference will occur. If it is covered, then you will see it.
Okay. Well, I did call C-SPAN this morning.
Thank you.
And they informed me that they don't schedule their programming until the day before.
That's right.
So they said, suggested everybody give them a call Wednesday.
Yes, which number did you call? Do you recall?
I don't have it in front of me. It was the one on your homepage.
Okay, good.
And also, I got a chance to talk to Stanton Friedman today.
No kidding.
Yes, and he said he's been on your show before.
Oh, yes.
He has a new book out, and he said, give him a call.
Where are you in Michigan?
Grand Rapids.
Grand Rapids. Yeah, I'll call Stanton. It's been a while. It's probably time to have him back on again.
Yes, he's an interesting character.
I should say. All right, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Take care, and everybody needs to call C-SPAN today. It will be the day of decision, and I know they have it tentatively scheduled. By the way, the satellite with the tether is now history. It re-entered the atmosphere and burned up on re-entry, I am told. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hello, Art.
Hi.
How about getting back to your cat itself? You never invited it to your house, so it's either a squatter or a stowaway. So I think a good name might be Stowey.
Stowey? Yeah, that's not bad. I'll put that on my list.
Okay, y'all have a great day.
Okay, take care. People trying to name that cat. I like Cusco or Comet. Comet is pretty good. This is the week of the comet. That's a big comet coming in. They say it could cover one quarter of the sky. Now, wouldn't that be a sight? Something to see in our lifetimes? Then, of course, you know, back further and still coming this way is the mighty Hale-Bopp. So it is the age or the day of the comet. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Yes, is this Art Bell?
It is.
Art Bell, my name is Ken from Seattle, Washington.
Yes, sir.
And I just wanted to call and let you know that I had sat with Max two different times.
Max the Crystal Skull.
Yes. And it is quite a phenomenon to sit with him. You can feel an extreme power coming from him.
Really?
Yes.
Now, how do you know that there was real power coming from Max and not sort of a psychological...
You feel it for about a week and a half afterwards.
Really?
And your eyes get real light, like they glow.
Really?
Yes, and you feel like you're... Well, my wife and I, we felt like we were actually drifting as we sat with him. I don't know how else to describe it. We were just kind of drifting off, you know, kind of floating, maybe.
Cool.
Really a neat thing, and I wish I could have got down there to Portland to visit with you and meet you in person, but just couldn't do it, you know. We had to work, so.
All right. Well, listen, I thank you for the call, and that's very interesting. I do not rule out such things. Max the Crystal Skull is 13,000 years old, allegedly, and is owned by Joanne Parks, and I interviewed her, and it is interesting. Everybody like this man who has been in the presence and, has touched the skull, even people who have seen the photograph, and that photograph, by the way, is available on our bulletin board service. So download at your own risk. I'll put that sort of little vocal disclaimer up right now. Download at your own risk. All right, we will continue to try to get our international line cranked up and working. And when we do, we'll let you know. And the same goes for our other lines. Apparently, we've got a little fine-tuning we've got to do there. I mean, if you're in Michigan, you're definitely way east and ought to be able to call it. So we'll go to work on all of that. And in the meantime, we'll take a break and check out the latest news. Earthquakes this morning are rumbling in Mexico, in China, and in Southern California. We'll be right back.
The trip back in time continues with Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. More Somewhere in Time coming up. Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from March 19, 1996.
Good morning, everybody. It's good to be here. I am Art Bell, and there's plenty to talk about, and I'll update you on a lot of it in just a moment. We are going through a phone number modification this morning, and things are not quite right. We have a new international line. And I'm going to tell you how it's supposed to work, just in case anybody can get through. But they tell me it is not yet working. Internationally, it's going to be a lot of fun. They will get it working. They will. I trust they will. They're doing this specially for us. And people internationally are going to be able to call their country code for the USA, your AT&T country code for the USA, whatever that is, and then 1-800-893-0903. So if you're out there, keep trying. The AT&T country code for the USA and then 1-800-893-0903. And at some point, when they get this little block removed or whatever it is, you'll be able to get through. So that's number one. Number two, the east and west of the Rockies line are being split by the phone company. And it may be they don't quite have it right yet. Because people in Michigan cannot seem to call the East Line. People in Pennsylvania can't seem to call the East Line, we have found out. So be patient. If you cannot get through, report to us that you cannot get through. And if you can't get through on one line, try the other. West of the Rockies, it's 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, it's 1-800-825-5033. Well, we'll struggle through, and I'm sure they'll get it all straightened out. Cat name idea. I've got a new cat. Trapped a new cat under my house. Little orange fur ball with golden eyes. And I think the name ought to be Comet. Somebody just sent me another fact. Said, what's orange and has a long tail? Comet. That's a pretty good name. And I like it best so far. Here's somebody who writes and says, in from Auburn, Washington, name the cat Steve. WJR got us back. They did indeed have a feed problem in Detroit and slipped a tape on and then got us back on. So there you are. That is not an unusual thing to occur with 255 affiliates out there. Stuff happens. And so I guess they were scrambling to get it back. Hey, Art, you mentioned alien contact, which reminded me of a quote. I'm not sure who said this. I believe he was a UFO expert of some kind. When asked why UFOs don't make contact with us, the response was, well, I go walking in the forest, but I don't stop to talk to the squirrels. That is enough to make a party feel insignificant. Well, I go walking in the forest, but I don't stop to talk to the squirrels. And that about ought to do it for you, I suppose. By the way, do not call our wild card line tonight because it is non-functional. So we have a very dysfunctional telephone system this morning, and we'll just kind of, it'll be catch as catch can. Another facts, as you know, there have been earthquakes. A big one in China, a moderately strong one in Mexico, and now KABC, my affiliate in Los Angeles, reporting that it was 4.0 near Newhall, just a little ways from Newhall where it was epicentered. And it was quite palpable. Good word. That's from Joan in Thousand Oaks. So there you have it. Then this, I see, WJR. WJR has indeed been having problems with its satellite feed, apparently due to the weather. They're having a lot of snow. Oh, that's what it is. That's what it is. Now listening to you from Ypsilanti, Michigan, on WJR 760, what happens is it snows, and the snow fills up the satellite dish. And when it does, the parabola, or the curvature of the satellite dish, is artificially changed by the snow. And it promptly stops working. And so usually what's got to happen is they've got to go out there with a broom and sweep the dish off to keep the parabola so that the focus of the signal being picked up is put back into the LNB or LNC or the focal point of the dish, technically. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. This is Pete in Portland.
Yes, hi, Pete.
You know, Comet, if it's good enough for one of Santa's reindeers, it's good enough for a cat.
Yeah, that's true.
And another thing to consider is sometimes I have experience with feral cats. Sometimes they don't socialize well into a hierarchy that's already established in your home.
Well, we're going to find out.
And you wouldn't want the name of a sponsor disappearing over the event horizon with the cat. Now, one more thing. When I was coming home from work this afternoon, you know how every local radio station, both AM and FM side, have their own email addresses they constantly give out, and some of them even have their own web pages, right?
Sure, sure.
So I'm listening to one of the top 40 FM stations, one of the big ones here in town, and you know, I just have to dial into them, and bingo, they're talking about Richard Hoagland.
Well, how about that?
And all the information. I'm saying, holy smokes, I'm wondering if one of Art Bell's fans has been calling around.
Oh, they were also
them off.
Oh, no, they were also talking about Hoagland all over Los Angeles talk yesterday, too. No, it's getting around everywhere. And with a little bit of luck and a lot of help, we'll get it on C-SPAN, and then we'll all get to stand back and see what happens.
Hey, you know, I think there is a direct flight from Las Vegas to Portland.
I know there is.
But you have to prove you have $300. You got to stay in the hotel and play the Oregon Megabuck slot machine and the video poker machine and fly back on the same plane.
I see. All right. Thank you, my friend. I'll tell you, there is a direct flight. you know, I guess there wasn't at the time that I went. But let me tell you how I had to go to Portland when I went. Going up was not bad. We landed in Salt Lake City, and they opened the airplane's doors, and it got very cold. So it was cold up there. Well, I'll tell you one thing. Salt Lake is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful area. Flew over the Great Salt Lake. Man, it's weird from the air. There are areas of the Salt Lake that are purple from the air. It's really weird. At any rate, Salt Lake and then Portland. Coming home, I had to fly from Portland to Oakland, from Oakland to Los Angeles, from Los Angeles to Las Vegas. Now, as I was leaving the airport in Las Vegas, I saw a gigantic sign that said, brand new, direct Las Vegas to Portland service. I thought a big billboard as I came home, and I thought, But I suppose to get me there at the appropriate time, they had to pull some strings and send me here and there. And they certainly did send me here and there. Coming into Los Angeles is always a nail-biter for me. And the reason for that is that there is so much traffic. Plus, it takes you about as long to taxi once you land at LAX to the point where the airplane is going to board, disgorge and then board its new passengers. It takes as long on the ground as it did to get from, Oakland to LA. I mean, it's like we did half the trip in the air and the other half the trip on the ground as we taxied. Ridiculous. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, Art. How you doing?
Okay.
Okay, this is Matt in Nashville.
Yes, sir.
First thing I wanted to say is I don't believe that we could repay the cleaning bill that we've amounted so far.
And get our deposit back, you
know. Oh, heavens not.
No.
I don't think so.
No deposit, no return.
Absolutely. And I just wanted to thank you for your program. I'm really enjoying it here.
Well, thank you. I enjoy doing it.
Okay. Have a good day.
Take care. Nashville, WTN. Here's a fact. Subject, Richard Hoagland News Conference. I called Craig Brownstein at C-SPAN. He said it sounds pretty good. He said he's receiving an awful lot of calls because of the Art Bell radio program. I also called Susan Pettit at CNN, Burden of Proof. The response, the same. So, if it is on C-SPAN, what time, Las Vegas time, that is, please tell me on the air. I'm listening now. Thank you. Carter in Vegas. Don't forget your friends in Las Vegas. Well, I would never do that. Las Vegas spawned me. I'm going to guess if it's 9 a.m., East Coast time, that it would be on the air at 6 o'clock in the morning here. Now, everybody needs to call C-SPAN today. If they're sitting, you know, on the fence, today would be the day of decision. So you need to call C-SPAN and ask them to carry that National Press Conference, National Press Club Press Conference of Richard Hoagland's, and then we can all sit back and see what happens. It's that simple. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Art Bell, this is Janice from Rochester, New York, receiving WHAM.
Hi, Janice.
Hi, I'm enjoying your show.
Thank you.
I have some information that regards Richard Hoagland's topic, and this is a book that my parents bought almost 30 years ago, and it was something of a bestseller then. It was called Flying Saucers, Serious Business.
Oh, yes.
And I'm not sure if you're familiar with that book.
I have heard about it, yes.
Well, it has a picture that was taken by an astronomer who was using 35-millimeter motion picture film, and he saw what appears to be a white cross on the Terminator somewhere near Fra Mauro. And I thought that since this was supposedly a mountain ridge, but no one can understand geophysically how they could be perpendicular lines.
Right.
This was published in Sky and Telescope, June of 1958.
Mm-hmm.
The photo was taken in 56.
Right.
And that was the official explanation for this. But I thought that was interesting because it's the same region that was involved with Richard Hoagland's issue.
No question about it. And that is interesting, and I will follow up on it.
All righty.
All right.
Thank you so much. Enjoying your show.
Thank you for calling. How's the weather back there? Has the snow melted away?
Well, it did, but it's come back again.
It's come
we have
back,
a lot of
yeah.
changes in Rochester. They say if you don't like the weather, just wait a few minutes.
And it'll change.
Indeed. Right.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care. It has been a pretty rough winter back east. My mom is on Long Island, and she's getting about fed up with the snow. I mean, it just keeps coming. Ridiculous. As a breeder, Art, with 13 cats in the house, that will never happen to me. I can tell you on good authority, even assuming all neutered, number three is definitely going to change the socio-political dynamics of your feline family. In physics, it could be said, you have reached critical mass. Yeah, I bet that's exactly right. Critical mass, I'm sure. It will be fun to watch, though, and we've been talking about that, because there is a definite pecking order. I cannot for the life of me understand how the pecking order that we have right now is the way it is. I have Abby. Abby is a good 17 pounds. I mean, we're talking major cat here. We're talking lap shredder. Abby can... Oh. Abby is a very large cantankerous cat. Cantankerous since the appearance of this little bitty thing we've got called Shadow. Shadow is or was a female, but she is incredibly smart, and she absolutely pushes Abby around. It's embarrassing. It's like watching the male-bashing TV commercials, you know? I don't understand how she can push him around. Why he puts up with it. I mean, Abby could sit on her and crush her. And yet, she's able to push him around all over the house. It is embarrassing for the maleness of my cat. Twisted around her little paw, so to speak. And she's so small. I mean, just, how can that be? And yet, there is that pecking order, and it really ticks off Abby. I mean, he doesn't like it. And so it puts him in a foul mood. When she's around, he's in a foul mood. And now there is going to be a third cat. And I have no idea what that is going to do to the little world of... There's a definite, absolute, obvious pecking order. And bringing a third in is going to scramble the whole thing, and who knows what's going to happen. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
First time caller to you.
Yes, ma'am.
I got through.
You did. Where are you?
San Francisco.
KSFO.
That's right. And I'm a cat lover.
Oh, you are?
I've been listening to what you've been saying about your kitty cat.
Yeah, a new one.
Well, I rescued two kittens who were wild cats like that and named them Boris and Natasha.
Boris and Natasha?
Because one was long and sleek, and the other was a butterball. But what I thought of when I heard your description of your newest addition was Quark.
Quark?
Quark.
Now, that's not a bad name. I'll put that one down. Quark.
Simply because it's a shooting particle.
Shooting particle. I'm afraid of what's going to happen when this cat... Now, see, this cat's going to be laid low for a little while because it has been modified.
Okay.
So when it gets home, it's not going to be feeling at the top of its game. But after it begins to regain its health, its wildness is no doubt going to come out. And how it's going to interact with these two very domesticated fighting furballs that I've got now, we'll see.
Well, mine were feral and quickly domesticated, but they're very smart.
Tell me about it.
And,
this cat came out. See, what we did is we put the trap down, this wonderful trap we got from L.A., and we dribbled some science diet up toward the trap, leading the cat, you know, bite by bite toward the trap.
Right.
And the cat ate every single one of the science diet pellets up to the trap and stopped there. And there was a full bowl of science diet inside the trap. And that's the way it went for a couple of days. Finally, in the middle of the night at about 3 a.m, snap goes the trap and there is the orange little fur ball. Finally.
It was a bit older cat.
It's either a year or just under a year.
Oh yeah, well they're very streetwise by then. I found these two when they were just a month old and their mother had apparently been killed by a raccoon.
Well, there you are. So see, it's going to be interesting. As you point out, this one has got to be pretty streetwise, and it's going to be interesting to see how the hierarchy stacks up. You know, watching cats is really something.
Oh, I know. I've had them for over 20 years,
well,
various ones.
Then you well know.
Yes, I do.
Thank you very much. There is a very, I don't get it. This little girl cat of ours pushes this big one around like there's no tomorrow. And he could squish her. I mean, he is so much, he could squish me. He could shred me. He has, many times. I still have scars from entanglements with this large cat. She doesn't scratch at all. I mean, her claws are never used, but he doesn't hesitate at all. And yet she pushes him around. I'm telling you, she has this big 17-pounder wrapped around her little claw, and it is little. It's embarrassing. How does a small, featherweight, little nothing of a cat push a big cat around? I don't know. Anyway, enough cats. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Art?
Yes.
This is Josh from Cottage Grove.
Hi there.
Well, I was wondering, have you ever watched Babylon 5?
A couple of times. A
couple of times, well. I think it's an excellent show.
Do you?
Yes.
Okay, I'll give it another shot. I'm such a fan of Star Trek, and then the next generation as well, and less of a fan of some of the newer ones.
Well, the writing is so much better on it, I think.
Okay, I'm open. I'll check it out.
Well, do you think I could get an address? I'd copy some tapes for you if you'd like.
You would violate copyright laws for me?
Yeah. I would.
Sure.
Okay, would you consider having J. Michael Straczynski as a guest?
Yes.
He's the writer for Babylon 5.
Oh, I see. Yes, I absolutely, sure I would. I'm very open to just about everything. Thank you very much for the call. By the way, do you know what? Nevada is the fastest growing state in the Union. And there was just a newspaper article indicating Pahrump, Nevada, where I live, is the fastest growing town in Nevada. Do you realize that makes us the fastest growing town in the whole country? Yikes.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from March 19th, 1996. Premier Networks presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from the 19th of March, 1996.
With all mixed up phone lines this morning, here's another fact, Art confirming. From here in Michigan, we cannot dial 5033, the East of the Rockies line. Signed, The Sage. Well, yeah. What has happened here is we've kind of gone to work one way or the other on all of the lines, and so there's problems more or less on all of the lines. Let us muddle through and get it corrected as we can. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Art, I'm calling. I'd like to say two things. I love your show.
Thank you.
You got a great show. Second, I've where I am now, I'm in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, just outside of Spokane. I can hardly pick up your show. I'm calling about the night you had the harp story on.
Yes, sir.
I know the guy had a book out.
Angels don't play this Harp.
And his name is?
Dr. Nick Begich.
Okay.
Now, if you want to get a copy of that program, you know you can do it.
Art, thank you very much. I enjoy your show, and keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you, my friend. Take care. Dear Art, if Mr. Eaton, he's the CEO who spoke out of Chrysler, wants better public relations, perhaps some of the CEOs would be better off not taking their million-dollar bonuses while they lay off workers or move their plants for cheap labor. I certainly do not begrudge anyone being rich. However, if we really worship the bottom line only, this country will never be the same. Ooh, I think this is hogwash. I don't think the Bible is challenged if we find out there have been other civilizations before. The Bible does not say the creation story applies to our present-day civilization. That has just been our egotistical assumption. Well, I agree perhaps with the second, although I don't really. And the first, I definitely disagree with. Look, corporate America definitely has a PR problem. But what people don't seem to understand is, when these companies lay people off, it's because they are becoming leaner, meaner, readjusting, playing in the market the way you've got to play to win. And when the bottom line is good for corporations, ultimately it will mean jobs. American jobs. So, I know that it's hard to see, and it's a very easy populist shot to take to criticize corporate America. As a matter of fact, I really got to dig out what Eaton said, because I thought it was right on. I really did think it was right on. And I'm never going to be able to dig it out unless I've got more time, because by now I've got everything scattered six ways from Sunday. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Howdy, I got two suggestions.
All right.
Vernal.
For my cat name?
Vernal, and the other would be Hoagland.
Hoagland.
Mm-hmm.
Hoagland.
I think they both have more character than Comet. Comet's apt and witty and fitting and all, but not as much character as those.
Well, okay, I'm kind of liking Comet, but I'll take that under consideration.
All right.
Thank you very much. I like Comet. I like Comet. It's appropriate. It is the week of the comet. Boy, are we going to get some comets. Wouldn't you love to see something streaking a quarter of the way across the... I'm going to go out this morning when I get off the air and try. Maybe even during my next break, I'll go give it a shot. I do have a pair of binoculars, and I'd love to see it. They say we may all be seeing it very shortly, very brightly. Naked eye. Should be something. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Yes, hello, Art. This is Travis and Tyndall.
Yes, sir.
Say, I was wondering if you could help me out with this. Now, if our reality is not based upon truth, like, say, the moon and things like that,
uh-huh.
What is it based on?
Well, it might be based on maintaining the present paradigm, the present understanding and teaching of creation, mm-hmm. And it may be protecting people who, in other words, look, if there was another civilization, or even many that have come before, and if those structures on Mars and the Moon came from here, which is entirely possible, since we happen to be closest,
right?
Then that's going to challenge a lot of conventional thought and religion and archaeology and just about every science there is
good. But shouldn't that be the way it is, though? I mean, if we're living in a lie, in an illusion.
Well, all right. Let me give you a good
better, right?
Let me give you a good parallel, sir.
Okay.
There was a day when everybody thought the Earth was flat.
Right.
And scientists of every stripe absolutely ridiculed anybody who would say anything otherwise.
Right.
until one day the burden of proof became so great that they had to change. So I think history shows us that science does not adapt to new ideas or even new proofs easily.
Okay.
Would you agree?
Well, I agree with that. I don't necessarily agree that that's the way it should be, but that's the way it is, yes.
Exactly right. It's not necessarily the way it ought to be, but it is, in fact, the way it is.
Okay. All
okay?
Right. Thanks, Art.
Thank you very much. And I'm not saying, look, I have no way of knowing about the structures on the moon. I've heard everything from glass structures that Richard talks about and says he has photos of, to old abandoned earth-moving equipment on the moon, that sort of thing. The tetrahedral physics that would seem to prove the structures on Mars are indeed not natural occurrences at all. Dare I say, man-made. At least some sort of intelligence created them. So all of this would challenge everything we know. And it's not accepted easily. It's like back in the days of the flat Earth. Look, there were careers. There were textbooks. The teaching was that the Earth was flat, and anybody who would say otherwise was absolutely ridiculed. So that is history. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Yes. My name is Jeff. I'm a first time caller.
Hi, Jeff. Where are you?
I'm in Baton Rouge.
Yes, sir.
I had an interesting comment about what you were saying earlier about previous civilizations reaching a point and then getting wiped out.
Yes.
I was reading a book that you might want to pick out. It's real interesting. It's called The Incredible Discovery of Noah's Ark. Have you heard about it?
Well, I certainly am familiar with the image of Noah's Ark up on Ararat, and
yeah.
It is astounding.
It gives a lot of scientific evidence,
yes,
of a civilization before the actual flood.
Right.
And about how, and it proved the story of the flood gave evidence about how in over 98% of known civilizations right now that there's some story of a great flood that wiped out everything. But before that, it's talking about how the entire world, the entire Earth, was completely different than the atmosphere and the environment, and how the atmosphere had like double or triple oxygen content, and the atmospheric pressure was like two times what it is now, and people were actually able, human beings were actually able to live 1,000 years.
Mm.
I mean, there's all kind of scientific evidence showing how they found some kind of metal like deep down in the Earth where this time period could have been.
Well, you know, that's not necessarily inconsistent with the Bible.
Oh yeah, I know. I understand that. But, I mean, the Bible's not meant to be taken literally.
Uh-huh. Well, I am coming to the point, after watching the mysterious origins of mankind, talking with a lot of people, including Hoagland, including a lot of very reputable people, that there have been those who have been before us.
Oh, yeah.
It is absolutely as good a theory as any other out there, and maybe one with more proof if just the American media would open up and allow it.
Mm-hmm. They won't let ideas like that out, though. They don't want...
Well, it's like saying the Earth is round, you know, way back when. I really believe that.
It's people are so afraid of change...
Yes.
...that they don't want it to come out. I mean...
No, I know that you're exactly right, sir. You're exactly right.
They're so afraid of change.
And it's stronger than that. It's not just fear of change, but entire careers are based on things the way we have said they are. And if they're not that way, then those careers are down the tubes.
They're gone. Yeah, sure.
I appreciate your call.
No problem.
Thank you. So I have an open mind about this. And as I said in a promo I did, I think, for Dreamland, human beings only use about 10% of their brain. So why is it we think we know it all? It is because we are compelled to have answers for things. We must have answers. And these are pressing, hard questions. How did we get here? Who are we? Are we alone? All of these things, they demand answers. And the scientific community has given us answers, They're not necessarily the right answers, and they're certainly subject to proof that would contend otherwise. And I think there is a growing body of evidence that there is an otherwise, if you follow me. It's just going to come out very slowly and very painfully. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, this is Dr. Beller. How you doing?
I'm fine.
Okay. The reason why I called tonight was to see what your standings was on Ross Perot. I've been inside a truck stop. I'm a truck driver.
I see.
And I've been inside a truck stop and haven't been able to hear your show in here.
So. All right, well, I'll tell you this. I voted for Ross Perot in the last election.
So did I.
And I'm not exactly sure what I would do this time. It kind of depends on, what you know, Dole and who he picks and how I see the race shaping up and who offers a third-party run. If it's Perot, I will look at him.
Okay. So, anyway.
But anyway, to me, he's a little iffy.
He's iffy?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I was kind of debating on throwing around. I know that I'm going to... I'm weighing towards the Republican side, but I just don't know quite about Dole yet. You know, I haven't heard enough on him other than what he's done in the Senate and stuff like that. So,
well, that makes two of us. The campaign will tell us. Now, here's another very good question for you. I believe Bob Dole avoided debates toward the latter part of the primaries for many good reasons. One, he did not need to debate. People were generally afraid of Pat Buchanan. The others were beginning to stumble, and his numbers continually were growing. He was really the beneficiary, in my opinion, of the fact that people were afraid of Pat Buchanan. So he's going to be the nominee. He's definitely going to be the nominee. But what happens when he's got to debate Clinton? Does he refuse to debate? If he does, Clinton will shred him for it. If he debates Bill Clinton, he may get shredded. He is not a good debater. Bob Dole is not a good debater. He's best when he's being interviewed, for example, on Meet the Press, and you can hear his wit and his humor. He's got a lot of wit and humor, but somehow he does not translate that into a debate. And so I don't know. I think if I was Bob Dole's advisor, I don't know what I'd advise him. Practice debating? How do you go after Bill Clinton? The character. Character issue. I suppose. I don't know. I'm kind of, in my own mind, slowly beginning to put together how the Dole campaign should be run. Not that I'm running it, mind you, but if you're gonna go, if you're Dole and you're gonna go after Clinton, how do you do it? Do you debate him? Well, I think you do so at your own risk. That's what I think. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Good morning, Mr. Bell.
Hi.
Well, my select antenna got a name for your cat.
Yeah?
W-H-A-M.
W-H-A-M.
I think I'd prefer S-C-A-T.
Well, that'd be ham, sort of. Or wham.
I got a call from John in Rapid City.
Yes.
And he said that the quickening is quickening.
I do believe it is.
Said that last year there were 159 major earthquakes, and this year, in the month of January alone, there were 39,
oh,
more
yes.
than one a day.
Yes,
were,
oh, yes, I know. No, Leonard, you're exactly right. It is.
I've got another select antenna that I've discovered from this one that's really working. It's The Holy Spirit tells me a lot of things that I need to know. And the Holy Spirit works just like the select antenna.
In other words, you tune your select antenna to a special part on the dial, and you get the Holy Spirit.
Well, I turn the Holy Spirit on, and put the Holy Spirit on the Bible, and it explains the Bible.
What you might do is you put the select antenna down next to the Bible and tune up above 1600 on the dial. That's where the new frequencies are. Or no, now maybe you'd want to, thank you, Leonard, tune down below 550, now that I think about it. That would be the older frequencies. And I suppose that if God were broadcasting, I wonder what frequency he'd be on. Yes, well, I'll tell you, Leonard has a talent. He really does. To go from the select antenna and its ability to pick up, for example, all the way from New York, that's pretty good, incidentally, in the Dakotas, to get that to the Bible is quite a reach. And Leonard is fully capable. That was pretty good, Leonard. First time caller line. Wait a minute, push the button. Now you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Kiara in California.
Well, welcome to the program. Get good and close to the phone and speak up. You're a little hard to hear.
All right. You said a cute name a little while ago, and I don't even think you realized it. But
what?
Furball.
Furball?
Either that or Figaro.
Figaro?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know about Furball. Cats, you know, barf fairly frequently, and we split our responsibilities. I am responsible for the cat box and barf. She is responsible for the food dish and water. Now, does that seem fair to you?
No.
I feel the same way. And now there's going to be three cats, three times the hairball barfs, and three times everything else.
Well, I still think furball's cute.
It is cute.
All right.
Thank you very much for the call. Comet. Take care. Yeah, but Comet is so cool. This is the week of the Comet. Somebody sent a fax and convinced me. What's orange, sort of, and has a long tail? Comet. And it is, here it is, equinox. This will be, by the way, the equinox comet. This is the 20th. Equinox is the 21st. The comet should be visible to the naked eye, I believe, on the 21st. We just got the cat. It's too good to let go. Comet, I think, is the name. I'm open to ideas, but my mind is rapidly closing on the subject. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hello.
Hello.
This is Richard from Portland.
How you doing?
And I got an idea for a name for your cat.
Okay.
How about UFO or UFO for unidentified furry object?
Well, that part's pretty good. But, I mean, how'd you like to go, here, UFO, UFO, UFO? That's hard.
Well, I've heard worse.
I mean, come on. Comet's pretty good, you got to admit.
Oh, it is, definitely, if he's an orange cat.
Yeah, orange with gold, golden eyes. You know, orange, golden eyes.
Yeah, most of my favorite cats have been orange or thereabouts.
You should have seen this cat when it was in the trap. It didn't even move. I thought it was dead. It was just huddled down, you know, this little fur ball.
I've been calling him Stiff.
Stiff?
Here, Stiff. Listen, I was listening last night, and I think that was the night you had your wife on.
It was, yes.
And she sounded very nice.
Oh, she's got a great set of pipes.
Oh, yeah, someone said that. Yeah. I thought it was really neat. I missed the call with your mother, and so it was really cool to hear your lady.
Well, that was not a call. I had my mom here. She was actually here in the studio, here visiting. First time I'd seen her in many years, and it was a blast having her on the air. She was a natural.
You ought to put your kids on.
My what?
Your kids.
My kids. One of these days, I've had my son on the air. Stay where you are, sir. We'll be right back.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time.
Somewhere in Time with Art Bell continues, courtesy of Premier Networks.
Just got a fax from Tamara. Is that a pretty name, Tamara, in L.A.? Tamara. It's just something about that name. I've always been into names, and Tamara is kind of exotic. If I'd ever had a daughter, I was going to name her Asia. I thought that was such a cool name. I thought that one up by myself. What a neat name for a girl, huh? Asia? Anyway, this is the best facts I've had on the comet yet, so listen carefully. Art, this is as plain as I can put it. By the time you go off the air today, the comet will be 40 degrees west of the end of the handle of the Big Dipper. It is an indistinguishable fuzzy ball of light, much larger than the surrounding stars. P.S. Your fist held out at arm's length against the sky is 10 degrees. Ha-ha! Well put, Carl. Thank you. And let me read that again for everybody out there, because I know a lot of you would want to see it. And apparently, it is very distinguishable once you find it. But he says, Art, this is as plain as I can put it. By the time you get off the air today, the comet will be 40 degrees west of the end of the handle of the Big Dipper. It's an indistinguishable fuzzy ball of light, much larger than the surrounding stars. And he says, P.S., your fist held at arm's length against the sky is 10 degrees. Thank you, Carl. That is very valuable pedestrian kind of information for people like me who wouldn't know otherwise. And then this, Art, did you see the woman who dresses in a Star Trek uniform and sits on the jury of the Whitewater case? She is a trip. Tim in Kansas City. You know, what do you think that's all about? There is indeed a woman on the Whitewater jury sitting in a Star Trek uniform. Now, what do you think that bodes for the people on trial, person on trial? Bodes well or not? Star Trek uniform. What if the judge has asked her about that? It would certainly indicate a certain attitude, wouldn't it? West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello, Art. I am so excited. The last time I talked to you was your last show before you went off for Christmas.
Oh, my, yes.
And I had the honors that night.
Oh, you did, huh?
Oh, man, that was quite a thrill. And I called you that night, but I didn't have much time to say it, to thank you for that Christmas gift that you gave all of us, that little verbal Christmas gift thing. That was quite touching.
Wasn't that neat?
Yes, this is Doug, the G-Man, in Clovis, California.
Yes, sir.
I've called you a number of times. I was laughing so hard when I was listening about those the cats and the butter and stuff.
Well, the only reason I told that story is because how could somebody get it that wrong?
Oh, but I heard it before when it was on the air. I've been listening. I'm celebrating a promotion and 1 year of listening to you because I started a year ago working at night, and that's when I first heard you.
But, I mean, this lady wrote me a letter and called me a monster, a horrible monster, for putting peanut butter and jelly on a cat and throwing it up in the air.
But try this. If you really want an explosion, what do you think would happen if you took two cats and, like, duct taped them together back to back and then dropped them?
Oh, man.
Somewhere down the way, they'd both decide to turn over, and there'd be quite a fight.
Yeah.
And then maybe, depending on how far you dropped them from, quite a splat.
That's really horrible. That's a horrible thought, but it is...
Maybe now you remember me.
It is an intriguing thought, though. If you took two cats and duct taped them together, which cat would land on its feet? Probably the heavier one.
Well, yeah.
Now, if they were roughly the same weight...
You'd have to do it like boxers, you know, get them weight class.
That's horrible, sir. Horrible. You have a twisted mind.
Well, thank you very much, Art. You've made me happy so many other times. That makes me happy to hear that, too.
Yeah, okay. Okay, well, that is truly twisted, and I appreciate your call. Keep calling.
I will.
Right, but God, that's terrible. But it is, in a dark sort of way, intriguing. Two cats and duct tape them together, then drop them. Which cat? Maybe the midair gravitational cat pull of each cat would even out, and they both fall on their sides and get hurt. See, don't try that. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Well, hello.
Yes, sir.
How you doing?
I'm okay. Where are you?
I'm in Grand Junction, Colorado, KNZZ.
Yes, sir.
How you doing tonight?
Well, I'm all right.
Yeah, okay. Well, duct tape and cats together, I'm not sure I can top that one.
Well, it's pretty awful, but when you think about it, it is intriguing. And as I said before, you just picked up, you probably didn't hear it. I've concluded that if the cats were roughly the same weight, that whatever cat gravitational thing causes them to land on their feet, they both land on their side and they both get hurt.
Well, didn't Galileo or Newton prove that by dropping two weights of different weights off the Leaning Tower of Pisa or something?
Yeah, at least he didn't drop cats.
Well, that's a good thing.
It is. And
yeah,
it might not.
He'd have something to say about that, I think.
Well, yeah, plus he might have come up with a whole different theorem.
I did want to tell you one thing, though, Art.
Yes.
I just got one of those select antennas.
Yes.
And I can pick up Carl Sagan's second thoughts on it.
Really?
So I think I got the last guy beat, you know, with the antenna story. But anyway.
Well, this audience appears full of sick humor this morning.
Oh, isn't it, though? But one quick thing. I called you last Saturday morning with the question about the Tennessee Waltz.
I recall.
Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
I've got another thing that's really bugging me, Art.
That's fine.
Maybe you can help me out with this.
Possibly.
Okay, here's the scenario. You're walking down the sidewalk,
yeah.
And out of the corner of your eye on the ground, you see something that looks like money.
Right.
Okay, you reach down to pick it up. As you pick it up, you realize it's not money, it's just a green piece of paper that somebody threw away.
Mm-hmm.
But by the time you realize that, it's a quarter inch off the ground, okay?
Right.
You say, okay, this isn't something I want, and then you set it back down exactly where it was. Now, here's my question. Are you guilty of littering?
Yes. Yes, because you are, it's a very, that's as bad a question as the cat thing. But technically, yes. Once you have picked up that green piece of paper, even though your motivation was less than, well, I'm not going to say it less than worthy. I mean, if I saw money on the ground, I'd pick it up. I have. What's the most money you've ever found? I found a $100 bill once. So cool. Anyway, yes, once you have that piece of paper in your hand, to then toss it back down makes you guilt by association. Certainly it's complicity. Definitely, I would say it is littering, but it's a hard call. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. Hang on.
All right.
Art.
Yes.
That's Scott in Medford.
Hello, Scott in Medford.
How are you?
All right.
Listen, I just got a view of the comet. It was incredible.
Really?
Yeah, except that it dramatically changed course. I mean, it looked like it was going due east and then
suddenly...
You
lie. No. Lie. Comets don't change course.
Well, maybe it was the optics or something, the way I was looking at it.
It was.
Anyway, I have a comment for you. On one of your callers called about the Noah's Ark and in Mount Ararat and the flood and that kind of thing.
Yes.
I'm a Bible-believing Christian.
Yes, sir.
And I think that there's no inconsistency with there being... the possibility of a very advanced civilization prior
to... Well, that's fine. And most of the people... Yeah, look, most of the people who call me are like you.
Uh-huh.
But you heard the guy a little while ago.
Uh-huh.
He was sincere. He was absolutely sincere, and he says it just can't be.
Right.
And there are a lot of people like that, Christians.
Right. And that's probably due just to a lack of sophistication on some people's part, because there's some good archaeology going on right now where they're discovering things like electromagnetic transmitters and stuff that are thousands of years old, you know, that are dating back to a pre-flood civilization. So it's possible, like if you study the Tower of Babel, I mean, building a tower to the heavens, maybe that was a rocket launcher.
Yeah, but again, no matter what, sir, My only point is, and he proved my point, that there are a lot of people who would be very, very, very upset.
Right.
Richard Hoagland says, no, we're ready. I say, no, we're not. And I do that from having talked to a lot of people like that man, and I just know I'm right.
Right. Well, I believe that, too. I know a lot of people in my circles would be very confounded, and they would dismiss it as a hoax because of, like you said, the world, the paradigm shift that would take place, like when going from a flat world to a round world, or from the Earth being the center of the universe to it revolving around a sun.
To us being more like just one grain of sand on the beach.
Right, right. And what you'll find is that the church tends to catch up with popular science as these things are introduced and proven.
Right.
And then again, the Bible tends to explain things that science hasn't yet proved. Evolution and
creation. That's true. Things. Yes, that's true.
Right.
No, I appreciate your call. Thank you very much. But again, I stand by what I say. And I know the angle from which Richard Hoagland, the scientist, comes. And for Richard and for those that he speaks with and associates with, they are seekers. They are people not afraid to look past the common belief. And so they naturally think that everybody else is pretty much like them, and they think that society has evolved. Well, it has, and there are a lot of people willing to look beyond now, but they are still the minority, not the majority. And so if something comes along, I'm telling you right now, there's going to be a lot of very, very, very upset people if we suddenly prove they exist. There's going to be a lot of upset people if they prove that there have been prior civilizations and we are not the first and probably will not be the last. Then it's going to upset a lot of people. And I believe the increasing evidence is pointing in that direction. So I just I guess I sort of agree with the conclusion reached in that New York Times, reported by the New York Times, that society would be at peril if this information gets out. I believe it might. That doesn't mean that I personally don't want it to, because I want to know. These are questions we all want answers for. Well, even that isn't true, is it? In other words, those who would freak out don't want to hear that answer. We'll be right back. Bob Grain has done what he always does. Now, Bob is going to Taiwan on Saturday. Going to Taiwan on Saturday, which happens to be election day in Taiwan. Bob always draws cartoons for me. And in this particular cartoon, at the bottom of the page, he's got a palm tree. Obviously, he's in Taiwan. And this looks like Susie, his wife, and she's under an umbrella, and there's a missile flying overhead. And Susie is saying, Bob, this is what they were talking about on the news. And Bob's little caption says, ooh, that was a close one, dear. Oh, boy. I think he's out of his mind. He's been working too hard, and it has skewed his good judgment. Nevertheless, since he is going to Taiwan, we will take advantage of that fact, and we will call him. And maybe, like some of the reporters in Iraq, if all hell breaks loose, he can get on the phone, and he can describe the overflying. Remember when the cruise missiles were flying and CNN was on the ground, and you could actually see these cruise missiles flying by? It was incredible, absolutely incredible. And maybe we can get you an audio version of that as Bob huddles in his hotel in Taiwan. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. This is Russell.
Yes, sir. Where are you?
I'm in Los Angeles.
Okay. KABC.
Yeah, and I was thinking that crystal skull might be part of the HARP project.
Yeah, well, it might, but it's been around longer than HARP.
Anyway, I don't know if you read the American Spectator. It's just a little more serious. But, you know, the situation over in China, they got a couple of articles.
Yes.
And one of them is on our Secretary of Defense, William Perry.
Yes.
And how he's been selling a lot of, he's got a lot of connections with high-tech companies and has basically been giving the Chinese anything they want. And, it's totally scandalous. It's just, every time I think the Clinton administration can't get any worse, it gets worse.
Yeah, why don't we just sell it straight to the Pakistanis, you know, and
yeah, exactly.
Cut out the middleman. That's a terrible thought. I appreciate your call. Look, I will get serious for a second. I think that right now our intelligence assessment of China is that it is going to attack Taiwan. I do believe that. Why do you think all this hardware is moving about? Why do you think the U.S., even at this juncture, continues to issue sharp warnings to China? It's because they know something we don't, and I mean the Defense Department and the President and others. I believe they have an assessment saying there is going to be trouble. And I wish to hell Bob Crane, I mean, of all days to go to Taiwan this Saturday, it's not exactly what I would call the ideal moment to travel, but he's bound and determined. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
I thought this was the Anything Goes line.
Well, it is. All my lines are Anything Goes lines.
This is Elizabeth.
I guess that. Why didn't you come to the book signing? You know, a bunch of people said, has Elizabeth been here yet?
Oh, well, people know that I don't like the fan phenomenon.
I see.
It has to be comet, Art, because the word comet comes from the Greek word komi or komi, which means hairy. So a comet is a hairy yellow ball with a long tail.
Yeah, I mean, it's perfect. Yeah, it's settled.
It's too perfect.
Yeah.
Anyway, I have to agree with you on these huge changes in our consciousness. And, you know, one of the things that I think, well, remember that prediction that the papacy would fall, the papacy would fall?
Yes, I do.
And I think that the Hoagland's new physics is going to be even more influential than the history issue, you know, the moon ruins issue.
Well, that's more potent, yes, although they really tie together.
I think they do, too, but, you know, the physics, this is post-biblical physics, post-Newtonian, post-Einsteinian, post-quantum. I mean, this is really going to be a huge change in the way that we look at reality.
Yes.
And I honestly don't think that Christianity can withstand this, because Christianity is based on a single level, three-dimensional,
yep,
linear scenario, and also a very limited and constricted view of history that serves its, you know, its ends. But
well, it's also the hard sciences, archaeology.
Oh, truly, anything that
astronomy,
historical content will be changed. And for that matter, Marxism, Freudianism, Darwinism, those are all based on that, you know, the biblical scenario construct, and that's going to have to go.
You're exactly right. It's all challenged, and Hoagland is myopic when it comes to imagining society accepting these changes without great turmoil.
Well, one last thing. There's a silver lining here, which is that we will get our own culture back. We will get classical culture back, because classical cultural, you know, the classical cosmology couldn't breathe.
Well, if we do, Elizabeth, it's like the phoenix, it'll come from the ashes.
Well, they didn't entirely kill it off. It's still there. And, we'll get morality, we'll get civility back,
uh-huh,
we'll get our politics back, we'll get conservatism back.
Yep.
It'd be wonderful. I'm looking forward to it.
Maybe so, but it may have to be Elizabeth's offspring that realize all the gains.
In the future, our children will study the classics.
Thank you.
Bye.
See you later. Well, that was a good call, and I happen to agree with Elizabeth this morning. All of that would occur. And this is no slam on Richard Hoagland, because I think what he has to offer is very valuable. It's just going to be challenged, ridiculed, just as the person who said, now wait a minute, here the earth is round. Well, as you recall, that person and those people from that point on were absolutely castigated ridiculed, made fun of. Round, are you out of your mind? Round, where would you get this kind of garbage? We all know the world is flat. Go on out there, you'll fall right off. Well, they didn't.
We'll be right back.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time. Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from March 19, 1996.
Tell you what I'd like to do here. They tell me that the gal at AT&T has been slaving over a hot keyboard, and she now has the East of the Rockies line working all the way from Canada to Puerto Rico, east of the Rockies, or a certain state. So if you are east of the Rockies... Actually, let me read this. If you are east of, let me see here. If you are east of Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, and New Mexico, then I would like you to try my east line. I don't know if we can really call it east of the Rockies anymore. See, that's the problem. But if you're east of those areas, try calling 1-800-825-5033. 1-800-825-5033. If you get a sorry, you can't connect from this area to that area, you can't get from there to here, whatever it is they say, then send me a fax so that I know it and I can get it straightened out, okay? Now, if you get a busy signal or you get a ring, that's good. And that means it's okay. Only if you get a message saying you cannot dial this number should you then fax me. All right? Are we straight? If you're east of Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, and New Mexico, give it a try. If you get that little recorded message saying you cannot dial, then send me a fax and tell me where you are, and we will get it straightened out for your area. That number again, 1-800-825-5033. Now, if you're in Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, or New Mexico, and west, including Hawaii, and you get the message, also send me a fax. That number would be 1-800-618-8255. If you're west, and you call 1-800-618-8255, and you can't get through, send me a fax, and we'll straighten it out. They're working on the international line that should be ready tomorrow, they tell me. My wildcard line should be fixed by tomorrow. All I can say is, when you give the phone company instructions and turn them loose, stand back and look out, because anything can happen. But we're breaking new territory here, so. Anyway, Art, wouldn't it be ironic if God saved the world by revealing extraterrestrial life, which would in turn destroy religion? So we'd no longer have anything to kill each other over, and we'd work together to save ourselves from the ETs. Tom the Bomb in Mesa, Arizona. Sounds like something Reagan said once. Or check this out. The protective layer of stratospheric ozone over the Arctic and northern polar zone has thinned to an even lower record level, according to the World Meteorological Organization, or WMO. The agency says, get this, measurements had shown an unprecedented 45% deficiency over an area covering northern Greenland, Scandinavia, and western Siberia. WMO officials blame the extremely worrisome development on the continued use of chlorofluorocarbons, which cause a chemical reaction as they reach high altitudes, converting the ozone into other gases. Now, I have no idea whether it's CFCs, but I do believe the measurements, and I have for some time believed these to be true. The WMO has done very careful measurements with NASA, and they're showing a 45% deficiency. That, folks, is serious. And once again, if it all ends, do you think mankind will get his cleaning deposit back? Probably not. This is from Bryn Marie in San Francisco. The alternate juror who wore the Starfleet uniform was Barbara Adams. When queried by the media, she explained to the press she always wears her uniform for what she calls formal and social occasions. Ms. Adams was summarily dismissed from the jury pool, not for wearing her uniform, but for talking to the press. Live long and prosper, Bryn. And then this, P.S. If two identical cats are tied together back to back and dropped from a moderate height, after the bottoms of their paws are smeared with butter, they will remain suspended in midair. Oh, boy. Don't try that, folks. Art, my opinion is that Dole should offer Buchanan the running mate position, especially since Ross Perot is going to run. Most of Perot's people are Buchanan people. The things I see would benefit all would be that if Pat were to be the running mate, one, it would prevent a split vote between the three parties. Two, it would once again reunite the Republican Party and kick in automatic damage control. After all, you've got to expect a little hair pulling in a good political battle. Three, Bob Dole would be sure to win. I have actually heard Clinton voters say they'd vote Republican if Pat was involved. I, like you, was a Perot person. However, I would not favor Perot if Pat was included as Bob Dole's running mate. Thanks for the great show and letting me express my opinion, Dan, in Wichita. Listening, of course, to the mighty KFH. How about the rest of you? Would you become a Dole person if Buchanan was on the ticket? It is a particularly intriguing question. On my first time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi.
Hello. Turn your radio off, please.
Okay.
Off, off.
Hi, I guess I'm listening to a different show.
No, you're not. We have a delay.
Oh, okay, okay. All right, well, about the Flowers on the Wall song?
Yes.
I'm really glad, yeah. Well, this is my first time listening.
Oh.
And my first time calling it. I'm usually not up at this time of night. And,
so why are you up now?
I can't sleep tonight.
Good answer.
And another question of mine was, besides the people like me who can't sleep and the people who are working who can afford to call while they're working, who else listens to your show?
My mom.
But I'm glad you had the Flowers on the Wall song, because I've never really listened to it before, and I've had it on the soundtrack for Pulp Fiction, and so I listened to it, and I really like the lyrics a lot. I'm not much of a country western fan, but
that song, huh?
Yeah, I like it a lot.
I know, I agree, and it was in Pulp Fiction. Exactly right.
Yeah.
Well, actually, sir, we're on 255 radio stations all over the country.
Wow.
So
okay.
There's a bunch of people out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you for the call. Obviously new to talk radio and new to this program. That's fine. Glad to have you. I guess we catch people for all kinds of strange reasons, and they're all fine with me. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Finally got through.
Yes, you have. Where are you?
On the question of the...
Wait a minute. Where are you?
Los Angeles area.
Okay.
On the question of was the Earth inhabited before...
Man.
...the people we call mankind?
Right.
Chapter 1 in the Bible, verse 28. Be fruitful...
Multiply
and replenish the earth and subdue it.
Yep.
Meaning of replenish.
I don't think they meant strip mining, do you?
What?
I say I don't think they meant strip mining, do you?
No.
By subdue it. I doubt they meant deplete the ozone far as you can?
No, but if you examine the word replenish, break it down, anything to be replenished.
Well, that means
replenished first.
That means reforestation. That means correcting the areas where you have mined so that it does not pollute streams. That means trying to put some ozone back up there, something like that.
You would replenish with creatures also.
Oh, good point. Good point. Very good point. I thank you for the call from L.A. Replenish with creatures as well. Well put, man. Well, that's the Bible. You know, you can read just about anything into it you want. A lot of people will read into it that we are the only ones. Our ego also supports that idea. Others will read into it replenishment of beings and even man, or perhaps repetitive cycles of man. Who knows? First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, this is Stephen Renton.
Yes, sir.
Hey, last night some guy called and said that Tesla had developed a car.
Energy-free car, yeah.
Yeah, in Dr. Begich's book, Angels Don't Play This Harp, in I think it's the second, when they go through Tesla's theories, they mentioned something about that car, that he did produce a car like that.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, and I was thinking about that, your cat. Speaking of cat, mine jumped up here. So I was thinking about the comet, too. So it must be on the same wavelength.
Well, I think that's a good name.
Yeah. Mine's a female. I named her Bert, though.
Bert?
Egbert.
Well, what I'm wondering is how it's going to change the social structure that exists in the house now.
Well, I had two cats, but I only got one now. I saved this one from underneath my house.
Yeah, that's where that's where too many cats come from.
Yeah, yeah. And, I was thinking about the comet, but I couldn't remember the name of it, so.
Well, I'm not going to call it by the comet's name. I'm just going to call it comet. Thank you very much. It's going to really be fun. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello. Hello there. No, I guess not. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Yeah, Art, I, found the comet tonight.
You found it?
Yes.
And how cool is it?
Well, it is visible with the naked eye. It's as described as a fuzzy patch, but it does seem to have a central, you know, star-like dot to it, you know, the actual core.
That would be the comet core, yes.
Right. And I also use binoculars, which does help. And my simple directions would be, you know, the arc to Arcturus from the handle of the Big Dipper.
Yes.
So you can see how that's sort of like evenly spaced stars. If you could just imagine that if the handle would continue and be maybe, I don't know, twice as long as it is, there's another very bright star that's as bright or brighter than the stars of the Big Dipper.
Right.
Arcturus.
It's, right.
For me, in Eugene, Oregon, it's nearly straight overhead, but it's a little bit to the south where Arcturus is.
All right.
Okay, then I stretched my hand out full arm's length. So I'm looking at the back of my right hand.
Right.
And if I put my index finger where I'm pointing to Arcturus, that very bright star, then my thumb is sort of sticking out, like a backwards L.
Yeah.
And my thumb...
This is beginning to get complicated.
Well, I know, but if you can find Arcturus, point to it with your outstretched hand.
Yeah.
Then your thumb is sort of your thumb is right over the comet.
My thumb doesn't have full movement, so I might not be able to get.
Yeah, if you could, if you can get your thumb out, 90 degrees.
But
I was out there, looking at it and trying to think, oh, if I do get through, how can I describe an easy way to find it?
Right.
Which is not easy in the Willamette Valley with all the clouds we have. I was waiting for a break in the clouds to get a glimpse of it.
Well, it's going to be brighter over the next few days,
yeah.
And brighter and brighter. And
it's headed north.
And we're going to be getting calls, I'm sure, from people saying, this is it. It's coming.
It is. It's like maybe 9 million miles away.
Yeah.
It's coming our way.
Did you hear the guy who called a little while ago and say, I saw it change course?
Oh, yeah. He's been watching too many cartoons, huh?
I hope so.
Okay, thanks, Doc.
Thank you very much for the call. And okay. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Yeah, this is Lewis from Louisiana.
Hi, Lewis from Louisiana. How you doing?
Oh, doing pretty good. I had a comment and also a quickening question.
Okay.
Okay, and my quickening question kind of ties into what I was thinking about, and I heard y'all talking about it. What if the Lord decided to give us a fair warning, but yet the way we've always read the Bible, what if he created all these other plants and they all had, you know, say different species from us? What if, he gave them the same chance to straighten up their act, like he's, you know, trying to do for us? What if they didn't do the same thing, and that's why, you know, all the plants, you know, the way that they are now, maybe he's giving us a, you know, fair warning, the same thing could happen to us.
Well, I've got a better one. Are you ready?
Yeah.
What if, I love what ifs, what if God treats us kind of like my mom treated us kids? I've got two sisters. And you remember, maybe your mom, do you have any brothers or sisters?
Yeah, I got one sister.
Yeah. Well, a lot of times when something horrible has been done, and they line you up and they want to know who did it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you won't tell them. And they say, either you tell us who did it, or you all get punished?
Yeah, usually.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what if some Plutonians, we'll call them Plutonians,
okay,
have really screwed up? I mean, their whole ionosphere is gone. Their whole atmosphere is gone. They're nothing now but an ice ball. But once they were a lush green planet like us, except they screwed up, And now God is basically saying, all right, who did this? Nobody's answering. Do you see where I'm going here?
Mm-hmm. Now for my quickening question.
Yes.
Okay. I've been watching a lot of the my seismofaxes and been watching, you know, reading the paper and then watching the news, and I'm noticing, like, you know, with KTLA and all the other stations, the only one really is keeping up with it and you, and I appreciate you for it, because it just seems like everybody else is just putting their fingers, you know, to the air saying, well, you know, oh, this is the same, you know, it's been going on for years, but
no,
it's setting up for something big.
Yes, sir. Obviously it is. Thank you. I absolutely agree with you, and I'm not a... Well, maybe I am a gloom and doomer. Actually, I somewhat enjoy it. Some twisted way. But the number of earthquakes, the number of volcanoes, the number of comets, the weather changes, the ozone depletion, all the rest of it, I could really go on and on. The social changes, the economic quickening, I could put together a list. Maybe, you know, we had to do that. I had to put together a quickening list. God, that's a great idea. I always have great ideas at the end of the show. Quickening list. Wouldn't that be fun? Put together a list of all the things that actually validate the quickening. God, we could have a blast with that. Maybe tomorrow night. I have written it down. That means I will remember it tomorrow. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Oh, I thought I'd never get through. Hey, I've got a list of things. How are you doing, Art?
Okay.
This is Dean from Seattle.
Yes, sir.
Hey, when man's time stops.
Yes.
To get back the damage deposit.
Cleaning deposit.
Cleaning deposit. I guess we would have to rent the steam cleaner first. That song, Counting Flowers on the Wall.
Somehow, though, I think mankind, in essence, putting chairs over burn marks in the carpet is not going to work. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, Counting Flowers on the Wall.
Yes.
That sounds like someone in an insane asylum or something, the lyrics.
Well, maybe that's why it goes so well.
Yeah, maybe. And someone called about he wanted to something about a past show and dealt with aging and...
Oh, you know, yes. Yes.
That was the guest on the Philadelphia experiment.
Maybe you're right. Al Bielek,
and
it could easily have been.
You know, your canter is very much like Paul Harvey's.
Really?
I think so. The, what, your voice?
And now.
And your timing.
The rest of the story.
Yes. And you should have a game called What If and have people call in and say, hey, what if this?
Do a whole What If night?
Yeah, or
I,
well, a little
like
section
it.
Or whatever. You know.
I know. Hey, I like it.
Great.
I like.
Oh,
I
and
like
a name.
What if the comet changed course?
It didn't change course.
I said, what if?
Oh, wow. Then we can call it the golden ship coming our way.
Oh, yeah?
Maybe. Hey, your name for your cat?
Yes.
It's your third cat. How about Trey?
Oh, God.
Hey, good night, America. I really love you, and I don't know. Keep eyes looking up.
You love America?
I love all people, and I think...
No, don't be afraid to say it. Just
sure,
say
I do. I love America, and I love everything it stands for in its constitutional state.
No matter what happens to us, sir, you're dead right. This is the best country on the face of the earth.
You damn right, Art. And
right.
People just gotta have faith in America, if not anything else.
You take care.
Thanks.
That's it for tonight. Trey, huh? No, it's gonna be Comet. Comet has got to be the name. It feels natural. And I'll wake the boss up in the morning and we'll see what she thinks. I love it too. Good night, America.